rather be in the house of the Lord than be anywhere else. Amen. I'd rather be amongst God's people, amongst other brothers and sisters in Christ than anywhere else. There's nothing like coming together. There's nothing like coming and worshiping our Lord. And so we're in this series called Till the Ends of the Earth. And so last week we talked about the importance of the local church. How many of you guys were here last week? Enjoy that sermon. Amen. It's so important that we continue to meet together and that we are not just meet together, but we are an effective local body, you know, in our community, that we are the church of the living God, that people look at us and they see a light, they see salt, they see something different that affects the earth. Amen. And so today, the title of this one is Go After One. Go After One. And so we're going to be talking about evangelism today. And as my wife had talked about, next week, next Saturday, Saturday from 2 to 5, plan to be here. If you have never gone and been a part of a street evangelism team, we will have a little briefing just to kind of prep you and to get you ready. We're going to teach you how to do that. And it's just going to be an incredible time. I remember whenever we used to go, I mean, pretty much every Mardi Gras parade, we would go out and do different dramas and skits and just really minister to people. And that's what the Lord has called us to. You know, we're never to be satisfied with our four no more. You know, there's always that one lost sheep that needs to come into the household of God. Amen. And so that is our heart. And that's always been our heart. And so we get to put this into action this coming Saturday. And so it's a great way to apply this message even before I preach the message, that you would even be thinking about how you can apply this message this Saturday. Amen. So we're going to get into it. One of the first scriptures I like to read is found in the book of Matthew chapter 28. We talked about the Great Commission last week, and I want to revisit that one more time just to kind of look at it. And let's read it. And notice whenever Jesus gives this great command, before he ascends into heaven, notice it's called the Great Commission and not the Great Suggestion. It's not a suggestion that Jesus is saying, oh, I wish that you would go therefore. I hope that you would go therefore and make disciples. No, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to baptizing them. Let's just read it. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, first, who is giving this command? Jesus. Amen. Jesus is giving this command. Notice he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, from that position of authority, he commissions us. He says, because all authority has been given to me, go therefore. In other words, it's a commission. It comes with this great authority that we have. Much like if you ever been in a classroom before, and the teacher tells little Johnny, I want you to come up to the front and read this chapter, you know, to the whole class. At that point in time, you know, out of all the other times, little Johnny might have been fussed, you know, stop talking, little Johnny, stop talking so much. But at this point in his life, he is able to come to the front and read this story in front of all his peers because he has authority to do so. Whereas before, he didn't have authority to talk out of turn. But now, because all of authority has been given to little Johnny, I don't know why little Johnny, but, you know, he is at this point able to communicate to all of his people because he has the authority to do so. Much like a general, whenever a general tells a soldier, soldier, this is your mission. I want you to do this. And these are the resources that I am accompanying you with. And so at that point, that soldier can then fulfill that mission, and he has all the resources that the general would give him. And so when we look back at the scripture, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples from the authority that I have. I have authority in all heaven and all of earth. Go therefore and make disciples. guess what? You have the resources of heaven to go into dark places and bring light and expose and expel darkness, because that is living on the inside of you, amen? And so you have that same authority. You have the authority, young people, to go to your campus and shine the light of Jesus Christ on that campus and expel darkness, because all authority has been given to you through Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? That's pretty awesome. Now, if that isn't awesome enough, it says at the end of the scripture, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, has that happened yet? The end of the age. I mean, we're getting there, right? I mean, you look around, it doesn't take much to notice that this world is coming to an end. But we are not there yet. But so if the Great Commission was intended to go to the ends of the earth or to the end of the age, then guess what? The responsibility of evangelism falls on us. It falls on you. It falls on me to the end of the age. You know, this is the way the gospel will continue. It goes from one generation to the next generation. Now, what we don't want to be, we don't want to be that generation that came after Joshua who did not know the Lord. Somehow, some way, their leaders failed to tell their children about the Lord and all the good things. It says there was a generation that rose up that did not know the Lord. No, but we want to be like the New Testament church. When Gamaliel, even though he was a religious leader in Judaism, he taught Paul, and so having this background, Paul's able to communicate with Jews and tell them about Jesus Christ. Guess what Paul then goes and do? Paul raises up a Timothy. He pours his life into Timothy. He goes on missions with Timothy. And him and Timothy and Silas are just doing great and incredible things for the Lord. And guess what Timothy does? Timothy is the first bishop in Ephesus. And so you see how this is like a snowball effect, how one person affects another person, affects another person, affects another person. This is how the gospel continues till the end of the age. Amen? And so that responsibility falls on you. It falls on me. And you might be thinking, I'm not a Paul. I'm not a Peter. And when we consider the greats of the New Testament, how Peter, even though, I mean, mostly he was known for sticking his foot in his mouth, but eventually he gets it right. Eventually he stands up and God uses him to preach to thousands, and 3,000 people got saved that day. He uses Paul, who was persecuting Christians, turns his life around, and then he begins to start planting churches, Christian churches. And so we look at the greats of the faith, and like, God, surely I'm not a Paul. Surely I'm not a Peter. But there's a story in the Bible that I'm very comforted by. There was a man named Philip. And oftentimes we think evangelism is reaching the masses and reaching the crowds. But what if evangelism is reaching the one? Reaching that one neighbor. Reaching that one coworker. That one friend. That one family member. That one person in the grocery store. What if evangelism is reaching the one? So we want to look at a story today about a man named Philip. All right, so in the book of, before I get into this, it's found in the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I want to give you guys just a little, talking about Philip the apostle, we're talking about a different Philip. Philip the evangelist. All right, so he's not one of the original 12, but this Philip, he was one of the seven. He was one of the seven who was chosen to wait tables. That doesn't sound very exciting. So he was called to minister to the widows and the orphans and those who are poor. That's what he was called to do. Now, it's interesting because he had to meet certain criteria. You look at it in the book of Acts chapter 6, verse 3, it says, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. First, he had to have a good reputation. All right, I mean, so are you the same person here that you are on the workplace? Do you have a good reputation? So this is one of the qualities that they were looking for. Full of the Holy Spirit. So we didn't want some guy who wasn't full of the Spirit. We want someone who was in tune to what the Lord was saying. You know, he had a vibrant prayer life. He had a vibrant walk with the Lord. He heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so this Philip was chosen, and he was appointed by the apostles to minister to widows and to distribute food to the poor. Doesn't seem like a very glamorous job, but you know what we find about Philip? Nowhere did we find that he complains about what the Lord had called him to do. Even though he was a man of good reputation, even though he was a man full of the Spirit. So he might have felt overqualified, like, surely I can be with some of the apostles preaching the word of God. I can preach with the best of them. We don't find any complaining on Philip's part. We just simply find that he was obedient, he was faithful in the small things, and God began to use him in much. A lot of times ministry is like that. You know, just being faithful where you're at, being faithful in those small things. And then eventually, over time, God begins to give you even greater opportunities. And so, looking at Philip, Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it says this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. I don't know about you, but, you know, if I'm Philip, I'm thinking, Lord, why are you sending me to the desert? There's nothing in the desert. Who's in the desert? Who am I called to? Like, why are you sending me to the desert? I've just done some incredible things. The Lord used me to do incredible things. In fact, we'll read that in Acts chapter 8, verse 6 through 8. Some of the things that Philip did, and the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. And so Philip, he had seen some incredible things happen. He seen the paralyzed and the lame begin to walk, and they were healed. And then he's called to the desert. How we talk about wanting humility, we talk about wanting the Lord to humble us. This might have seemed like a very humbling moment in Philip's life, where all, you know, he's being used in such a glorious way, and the Lord says, "No, I got another plan for you." Now I have this picture of a desert, this desert road. So he was called to go to this desert road, which leads to Gaza, which ultimately leads to Egypt and Ethiopia in Africa. Doesn't look like a very promising place. You might be wondering, if you're Philip, who in the world will I encounter on such a desert road? Perhaps an Ethiopian going to Jerusalem, or perhaps a Egyptian going to Jerusalem. Now, you got to think back in this day and age, how the message, it was for the Jews. The Jews were God's, you know, they were God's elected people. And so if you're Philip, you probably have some questions. Are they qualified to hear the gospel? Or if I run across an Egyptian or an Ethiopian, are they qualified? Do I go to share the gospel to them? And so this little road, this desert road from Samaria to Gaza, that's approximately 50 miles. It's like walking from here to New Orleans, a little bit further. It's quite a distance. So if the Lord called you to walk that far, to go, you don't even know who you're going to meet. You don't know who you're going to run across. Would you be willing to do it? What would we see about Philip? He was willing. He was willing to hear, not only hear the voice of the Lord, he is willing to obey the voice of the Lord. And I believe this is a key to evangelism, being willing to listen to the voice of the Lord. There may be times when he sends you, we used to go street witnessing all the time, and we were downtown one time, and I seen a guy I knew from school, and he goes right into a bar, and of course I'm with my pastor at the time, and I said, you know what, I really feel like the Lord's leading me to follow this guy into the bar. My pastor was like, okay, let's go. And so we find this guy, we start talking to him, and he's just in a mess, you know, he's just in a rough place in his life. And I really felt the Lord put upon my heart, hey, look, you should pray for him right here. I'm like, Lord, right here, like in front of the bar, like with everybody looking. And the Lord's like, yeah, pray for him right here. And so the three of us, we bow our heads, we close our eyes. And, you know, of course, the whole bar just kind of went silent. And they're all looking at us like, what are y'all doing? You know, you're in a bar. You're not supposed to be praying in a bar. But the whole place went quiet just for a moment. And there was a God moment that happened right there, you know, just right there, because we were willing to just obey the voice of the Lord and take the time to pray for this man. Even though, yes, it was an inconvenience, even though I might have felt like Philip, like this might have been humiliating, you know, to humble your pride, to humble yourself. But man, it's so worth it whenever you listen to the voice of the Lord. Amen. That's exactly what that meant, what he needed in his life at that time. And who knows? Your obedience might be the very thing that someone needs in their life at that point in time. Amen. Philip, though it was a strange place, it was a strange thing that he was called to, he was willing to obey. Sometimes God opens a door of opportunity to his ministers in very unlikely places. I'll read that again. Sometimes God opens a door of opportunity to his ministers in very unlikely places. The grocery store is a very unlikely place. But who knows? You might be the very Jesus that person in line needs to hear. Your job, you work with people on a day-in, day-out basis. They see you. They see your character. They see how you handle situations. Seems like a very unlikely place for salvation, but it's the exact place that God has you at this moment, in this time, to be a light in the midst of darkness. Amen. So, it says in verse 27, and he arose and went. He didn't question God. He didn't wrestle with him. Like, God, like, who is there really? Like, who are you sending me to? It just says he rose and went. He was obedient. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Man, you know, God sees what we do not see. God sees the heart of this Ethiopian man, and he makes a way where this Ethiopian man can come in contact with the holy and righteous God by sending Philip nearly 50 miles to the Gaza road to meet him. So immediately whenever Philip gets there and he sees this Ethiopian eunuch, his eyes open like, wow, this is the man whom God sent me to. Now, there's a couple of things about this guy. He was Ethiopian, which meant that he was a foreigner. And so, furthermore, he was a eunuch. Anybody know what a eunuch is? Yeah. And so they often served in the queen's court. They were men. Notice his pronoun is he. They were considered men. They worked in the queen's court. But oftentimes they were castrated men so that they would not, you know, interfere with the queen or hurt her in any kind of way. Nonetheless, the eunuch is still called a he. Interesting. So this eunuch, he worked in the court official of the queen of Ethiopia. He traveled to Jerusalem to worship God. With the limited knowledge that he had, he had a heart. I want to know God, and I know that God is in Jerusalem. I want to know him. Well, the problem with being a eunuch is that you were not allowed to enter with the congregation of Israel because your body part was maligned. And so you were not allowed to enter with that. But yet the Lord seen the heart of this eunuch. He seen the heart of this Ethiopian man and says, I'm going to make a way where you can know me. God can surpass, you know, the ideas of men to reach that one. Isn't that just like the Lord to leave the 99 and go after the one? Amen. Aren't you glad that he left the 99 for you and he went after you? That you were the one, that you were that one lost sheep. You were the one that was on the outside, and God seeks you out out of everybody else. He goes after you. That's the God that we serve this morning, amen, when he goes after the one. He sees this eunuch and he makes a way for him to come to salvation. Now, he's reading, and Philip asks him, so do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian replies, how can I understand unless someone guides me? How can I understand unless someone guides me? Doesn't that sound familiar? In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14, it says the same thing. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So he was desiring to know God in such a real way. He somehow had a manuscript of the book of Isaiah. Now, in this day and age, like where we are today, pretty much everybody has a copy of the Bible. If not, you could probably download the Bible app and get to the Bible. But there was no Bible app back in the day. You know, if you wanted a copy of the book of Isaiah, a scribe would sit there and copy it word for word and on the scroll. And so you can see how the word of God was not as accessible as it is today. Nonetheless, he has a copy of the book of Isaiah, and he is wanting to know the things of God. What if your neighbor, that one, your friend, your relative, has a desire to know the things of God? The Bible says that eternity is placed in the heart of man. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I believe that each and every one of us, every single person alive that on the planet, desires something greater. Desires to put their hope in something that is greater than what we see in this earth. They desire to be free from the pain and the agony and the stress and whatever it may be that they face on this earth. They're looking for some sort of hope, and they're longing to be in this place that God provided, but yet they don't quite know what they're looking for. As a believer, you have the answer. You have the answer to what they need and what they are looking for, that eternity that is in their heart, that longing to belong to something that is beyond this world, is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as believers, we have this hope. So therefore, it's our responsibility to share this hope with others. Amen?
Amen.
So this Ethiopian, it's amazing how God sets up all the details so that this one man, this one person, could come to know the Lord. Continue reading. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth. I'll read that again. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through and he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now, there's four things I want to point out about this passage, and I believe that will help us with evangelism. And one of the first things is that he opened his mouth. Open your mouth and he will fill it. Open your mouth and the Lord will give you the words to say. You know, a lot of times I believe that the reason we don't evangelize, the reason we don't tell people about Jesus is because we don't know how. Maybe we're scared. Maybe we're intimidated. Maybe we don't have the words to say. Maybe the Lord is just wanting you to open your mouth, and he will fill it. Look at Psalms 81:10. It says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
Amen.
A lot of times, you don't need the words to say. You just need to be relying upon the Holy Spirit. And as you walk in obedience, as you are willing to open up your mouth, the Lord will give you exactly what needs to be said to the person that you are speaking to. Another verse in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 12, verse 11 through 12, says, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. In the very time of need that you need to speak to someone, that the Lord will give you the words to say. And I can attest to this, because there have been times when, you know, I didn't know what to say. You know, sometimes you're counseling someone, you know, as a pastor, or you're evangelizing, whatever, and you don't know what to say. But as you begin to open your mouth and you just begin to talk, the Lord begins to fill your mouth. He begins to use your mouth as an instrument. The Holy Spirit begins to take over, and then you kind of step back afterwards, and you're like, whoa, who was that? Who was that? Who was that speaking to that? Because that was not me. That was the Holy Spirit. He just needs a willingness. He just needs someone to say, yes, I'll be willing to open my mouth. And as you open up your mouth, the Lord will fill it. Amen?
Amen.
The next thing that Philip did in this particular passage is that he shared God's word. So as this eunuch is wanting to know, what does it mean? You know, whenever he's looking at the prophet Isaiah, he's like, man, who is this talking about? And so Philip uses the word of God. Now notice, he used what he knew, right? The Lord's not going to ask you to go and talk and use the word of God that you have not been accustomed to. Use the word of God that is in your heart, amen? And you don't have to be, you don't have to have a master's in divinity. You don't have to know that, you know, from the Genesis to Revelations, everything about the word of God. But you have to have the word of God inside of your heart. There has to be something that you're basing your faith off of. There has to be something that you are standing on. And that word of God is able to break down walls. And that word of God is able to set captive free. They need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so our words are good, but man, God's words, the, you know, have the power to set men free. And so we need to show them, you know, the things in God's word. And so maybe you don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but everybody knows John 3:16. Everybody knows, right? What? Just to prove it. Let's just quote it by memory. Ready? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you know that verse, then you know salvation. How God loved the world. You can begin to explain this scripture. Look, God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only son, so that you can be made whole. You can begin to share this particular verse with someone. So therefore, you know the word of God. If you know this one verse, you can share this one verse. You can share, you know, the perhaps there are other verses that the Lord has brought you to, you know, when dealing with salvation. You begin to share those verses with other people. But they need to come in contact with the word of God. Only the word of God can set men free. So then what Philip does, he talks about Jesus. Because the word of God is powerful. But every conversion has to come through Jesus. You know, whenever Cornelius, he experienced as this eunuch where he had a heart after God, but then he still had to come in contact with Jesus. Because it is only through Jesus that we are saved. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you don't go to the Father through Mary. You don't go to the Father through John the Baptist. You don't go to the Father through any other name but the name of Jesus. They have to come in contact with Jesus, our Savior. All right? You know, in fact, this particular question, Jesus asked his disciples. He says, who do you say that I am? Before that, he said, who do others say that I am? And they were like, oh, some say, oh, you're John the Baptist, or you're Elijah, you're some other guy. Yeah, but who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you? And upon this question, you can either discredit a religion or you can prove a religion by the answer, how they answer this question. Is Jesus the Messiah? Is he the Son of the living God to you? Is he a part of the triune being? If so, then we are brothers and we are sisters. But if not, let me introduce you to him. Let me tell you about Jesus. Because if he's just a prophet, if he's just a good person, then you're not saved. You're not saved. If that's all you believe Jesus is, if he is not your Lord, if he is not your Savior, if he is not the Son of God, then you're not going to spend eternity in heaven with us. And as Christians, we should be burdened with this. It should really burden our hearts that there are people who do not know the Lord, and they will spend eternity separated from him forever and ever. Let it burden your heart this morning. And then one last thing we see in this particular passage is that Philip was a part of the miracle. You know, God, salvation is all God's work. He predestined you. Before the foundation of the world, he predestined you for salvation. He made a way by sending his Son to die on the cross so that you can be saved. Again, all God's work. He draws a person to salvation by his Holy Spirit. Again, all God's work. He convicts you of sin and unrighteousness and leads you to repentance. God's work. And he is committed to sanctifying you each and every day, making you more and more like Christ, God's work. But at the same time, Philip was able to be a part of the miracle of salvation in this eunuch's life. Philip was able to connect the dots between Isaiah, the prophet, and Jesus, the fulfillment of the prophet. And furthermore, Philip was able to baptize this young eunuch. He was able to be a part of the miracle. And as believers, as Christians, I truly believe that we too are able to be a part of the miracle of salvation in other people's lives. Simply by opening our mouths, telling them the good news, telling them about the Word of God, telling them, pointing them to Jesus. You know, that falls on us. How will they have faith if they don't hear? And how will they hear if there is no preacher? And how will there be a preacher if no one is sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. So evangelism is not always in front of the big crowds. Sometimes the Lord will call you to that one lost sheep. Who would be that one person you would want to come to Christ? We all know somebody. Who would be that one person? And then, are you willing to pray for that person? That one person. Are you willing to pray that their eyes would be opened? Are you willing to pray even for the opportunity to share your faith with them? Are you willing to pray for them? Do you need God to give you the boldness to open up your mouth? He will. If you ask for boldness, He'll give you boldness. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the way to say it. He just needs your willingness this morning. Do you have key scriptures regarding salvation stored up in your heart? Do you know some things that you can begin to point others to? And then what are some creative ways to turn your conversations towards Jesus? You in your daily life, how can you turn conversations to Jesus? How can you point conversations to Jesus? Because he's the only one that matters. Amen. Nothing else in this world matters but Jesus. Jesus matters. People need to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And here's the thing about evangelism. If you do not intentionally plan for evangelism, evangelism will not happen. If you're not intentional about it, it's not going to happen. It's not just going to magically happen. We have to be intentional about it. Amen. So just to recap these points again, open your mouth. He will fill it. Share God's word. Talk about Jesus and be a part of the miracle. Lord, we just come before you and we just pray, God, you would help us in this area, Lord, to be better evangelists. Lord, just as Philip went after the one, Lord, that we would consider the one whom you would want us to go after. Lord, as the shepherd would leave the 99 and goes after the one, God, we know this is a very biblical principle. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to zone in and to think about the one that you would have us to go after. And, Lord, that we would begin to pray. We would begin to even fast for this individual and just look for the opportunity to share Christ with them. And, Lord, we believe that, God, as we go after the one, Lord, you will begin to multiply. And Lord, you will give us the words to say. You will give us the spirit to say it in. Oh, Lord, and so, Lord, we will not be fearful. We will not worry, but we will trust in you, oh, Lord. So I pray for boldness for your church. I pray, God, you will grant us boldness. Even as we go out this Saturday, Lord, we pray for divine opportunities this Saturday. Opportunities, Lord, to point people to Jesus. And, Lord, through this, that people will come to know you, that they will be saved, and that their eternal destination will be changed from death to life. Lord, we declare it so this weekend, oh God. We pray for each and every person who is coming out. Lord, you will fill them, Lord God, with the power of the living God. You will fill them with the Spirit of God. And Lord, whenever they open their mouth, whenever they are willing to be an instrument, God, you will fill their mouths, oh Lord. And so, Lord, we pray for that this weekend, Lord, that it will be effective. We pray, oh God, for salvations, and we pray just for boldness in your church. Help us, oh Lord, to fulfill the great commission. And Lord, that we would take it as a commission and not a suggestion. Forgive us, oh Lord, in times past when we have not been obedient. When you have spoken to us and said, share with this person or pray with this person, and we have not, God, that you would forgive us. Help us to be more obedient, Lord, to be more like Christ, to walk in humility in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place. And let God's people say, amen. Amen.
Amen. Go and share with one. Grab a couple of flyers. We have those red and white books as well. Just go and share someone about Jesus this week, and we'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30.